right. It's a good morning. It's 3 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. We are here. And when we are here, it means we are here. The word we are here means we are here. So, what are we talking about today? Of course, if you have seen the social media posts, we are talking about, we just want to make a difference because we started driving this conversation. We just wanted to make, you know, distinctions between culture, traditions, norms, and customs. And then faith, religion, and witchcraft. And we established that culture is totally different from religion, and culture is totally different from faith, and the culture is totally different from witchcraft. And we drove this conversation for 3 weeks. Now, this is the fourth week, which is the last one. And we are now getting into, you know, sealing it all. So that when you hear people say, let's go back to our culture, they are not talking about witchcraft. I know there are elders that are also confused, that don't know the difference between witchcraft and culture. And they are the ones that are making it very easy for you as a young person to hate what culture is. Just like people in church make it very easy for people to hate, God or to hate Christianity itself, because they don't understand, you know, the difference between religion and faith. They mix everything. They think faith is their religious laws. So, and just like we have governance, proper governance, you know, and corrupted governance, which is democratic. So, we had our own governments, you know, setups that was led by the kings and kingdoms until politics showed up and corrupted everything. You know, until politics showed up and then corrupted everything. We had our culture intact, powerful culture, where we even invented things. We understood, you know, how to carve wood and make product out of it, you know, until witchcraft showed up and corrupted culture. We had connection with God, powerful connection, fellowship with God and friendship, a heart-to-heart connection with God, until religion showed up and corrupted faith. So it is religion and it is witchcraft and it is politics that corrupted this world. Let me repeat it again. It is religion, it is politics, and it is witchcraft that corrupted this world. Because it was used to infiltrate into the order of the day. And you know what? It corrupted everything. Because now, everything is led by politicians. They are the ones calling the shots. Now, everything is led by religious leaders, the clergies, the pastors. They are the ones that are calling the shots. They are the ones that are dictating how you should worship and pray to God. Because they created the remote control that they have in their hands. You see, it is witchcraft that has corrupted our cultural and traditional way of life to the point that they started dictating how culture should go. And to the point that even professors in the you know, our own academic professors in philosophy also had, they also started to have a corrupted understanding of what culture is. And as a result, we are convinced to believe that we are convinced to believe that witchcraft is part of African culture, which is absolutely, and it is apostolically, and you know, it is evangelistically false and wrong. Because culture existed before witchcraft. Culture existed before religion. And culture existed before politics. But now, these three corrupted branches have infiltrated in the order and made everything upside down. So if people ask you, if people ask you what corrupted the world, especially our world here, what corrupted our world here is witchcraft, is religion, and its politics. Those three branches have become a cancer to our cultural existence. All right, that was just a summary of what we've been talking about. I don't want to, because if I go in again, I might be tempted to follow again for the fifth week. Because it seems I have a lot to say when it comes to this. Because we were very much productive, you know, under our culture, when it was purely culture. We were very much productive. Our households were industries. Because culture dictates that we work with our hands. Those are the dictates of culture. Now, that's why I want to make a difference between religion, culture, and witchcraft. Especially religion, politics, witchcraft. Because these are the main source of chaos. In culture, the dictates is that you work for yourself. That's one. Dictate number two, which is very important, is that you understand the principles of the work of your hands. So you understand, that's why you see there's a verse in the Bible that says, whatever your hands finds to do, do it. That speaks into the culture. That's a cultural dictate. Those are cultural coordinates, and those are cultural instinct. So the cultural coordinates, the cultural instincts dictate that you work for yourself. With what? With your hands. Apply your medulla oblongata to a wood and come up with an axe handle. You start making handles for axes. And then you go and say, look, I have these four, five handles. Can you please give me a bag of grain? And this one will say, look, I have a mortar and a pounding stick. I want a bag of rice. This one will go and collect salt and say, okay, 1 bar of salt or 2 10 bars is equals to, you know, 2 pieces of meat. Business. We understood exchange. We understood currency under our culture. That was our cultural instinct. And we looked at the palm tree and we say, look, this is not just a palm tree. These are not just palm leaves. These are baskets. And the women started weaving baskets and making carriers out of, you know, the palm leaves. Now, this and the, after palm leaves, you need, you know, that hard, after you have stripped the leaves, that pod, that hard, you know, stretch. They say this is not just a thing. We can also use it for other things. They cut it nicely, they dry them. They either use it to stir in the pots or other functions. Some will even use it as you know, as building material, depending on how, you know, handy they are. So, and people looked at the reeds and say, these are building materials. Bamboo. It's not just a bamboo. It's bamboo. We can make a chair out of it to sit. We can make a chair out of it. We can carve wood and make a canoe or make a pounding. That our households were industries of people using their mind, their brain, to think. One of the coordinates of culture is that you need to apply logic. And this is a God-given ability. You apply logic. But in religion and in witchcraft, logic is suspended. So, in witchcraft and religion, logic is suspended. You are not supposed to use your logic. And in fact, in religion and witchcraft, working for yourself is suspended. The work of your hands is dismissed. Because everything must just be done by spirits. This is how corrupted we have become, you know. This is where we became corrupted. And in fact, this is how we were able to be rendered useless and unproductive. And then politics comes in, making it even more worse. So everything in politics now is about your rights. No responsibility, no accountability, nothing. No logic, no thinking. It's about your rights. So this is how Africa was rendered unproductive. The first thing that started was witchcraft, where people stopped thinking. They stopped using logic. They stopped being crafty and handy. They stopped respecting the work of their hands. And we started chasing out of spirits. And in fact, this is where we went deeper into very powerful ignorance that in fact rendered us unproductive and at the end of the day facilitated the scramble of Africa. Because if we continued with our logical ability to think, and in fact with our capacity to work and using our hands, we wouldn't have been scrambled like eggs in a pot. Because we would have known that these people that are coming here, they have a different agenda. We would have understood by the first time we saw somebody with a light skin, lighter than ours, we would have known that these people's agendas are different. We were busy establishing totem organizations. And then when we woke up from that, we were in the midst of it all. And you know what? We didn't know where to start. Because number one, we didn't have a negotiating language. We did not have a negotiating language. We ended up being servants in our own land. Working for people. Because how did we discover that we can make fire, we can make wood? I mean, we can make a canoe out of a wood. We can, the Ukwambi area was like an industrial hub. People don't understand. You know, that's why the people are called, Kwambis, because they used to produce clay pots. They were the best clay pot producers. That's why they were called Kwambis. And the reason why people are called Ganjeras is because they were the best smelters. You know, they worked with metal, iron smelters. They were the best iron smelters. We left all that. And then we started establishing totems. Because our forefathers, one problem they had is that they did not understand the importance of, okay, fine. They thought about a new idea, which is always good. You know, to have a new thinking and new idea. But the problem with our forefathers is that they did not understand the business side of what they were doing. So they went to acquire powers to become whatever they wanted to become. But they did not understand the economic benefit of that power. And because they did not understand the economic benefit of the power they went to look for, the power ended up rendering them unproductive. You see, just like you don't understand. You don't, now, when I'm talking to you now, you don't understand. You are going to church tomorrow from 8 in the morning to 8 in the evening. Why? Because you don't understand what you are doing. So, at the end of the day, by 8 in the evening when you come, you just want to grab something to eat and go and sleep. Then, at the end of the day, you become unproductive. Because what your religion is not bringing anything to you. It's just taking from you. And this is the same thing that witchcraft does. It does not bring anything. It only takes. So witchcraft and religion will never make anybody successful. Never. It will never make anybody successful. It has never made anybody successful, and it will never made make anybody successful. I can even put my head for it. So this is what has rendered us very much unproductive, because we left the foundation. And what does Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 30 says? When you depart from faith, you will be what? First of all, your land will be taken away. You become a slave. You become a borrower. And that is what happened to us. Because when you are well cultured, it is going to be very easy for you to have a very, very good relationship even with God. Because culture dictates that, number one, you work for yourself. Two, you use your medulla oblongata, use your logic, which means that also cuts into innovation. That's why we could discover clay. And we say this is not just a heap of mud. We can produce pots and plates from here. Those were the discoveries. Those were discoveries. We discovered grain and we understood that we could pound and make flour out of it. Those were discoveries. It was not going to have been difficult for us to have discovered diamond, and in fact understood what product we could make, we could get out of it. But because we forsook the foundation and we started establishing, you know, witchcraft organizations, and we went deeper in that. Zakaria Lewara discovered diamond. And you know what he did? He gave it to his German master. Because he didn't know what a diamond is. Why? Because we didn't have time to get into nature and discover new things. We had more time into chasing after spirits and establishing their laws and orders. And then we think that is our culture. We came with that and forced it into our culture. And then our ways became slippery. We slept off the foundation. And then we became spiritually sound, but physically ignorant. And physically and naturally unproductive. And then we became logically incompetent. That's why two white people could control 800,000 people. Two. Why? Because we became logically incompetent. It is our logical incompetence that came as a result of chasing after spirits that facilitated the easy, you know, that made the foreigners, you know, feel at ease carving up Africa the way they wanted. So, when we look at colonialization, we shouldn't play victim and think we were just innocent and somebody just came. There's nothing like that. Nobody breaks into your house and you are quiet and you don't do anything. And in fact, you hear movements outside and you still pretend nothing is happening until somebody comes inside. And you know that these people I mean, you know your house very well. That, okay, the person is entering through the toilet window. By the time he comes through the door, by the time he just brings his head out, he's down. Because you know your house very well, so you can maneuver in the dark very well. But that will only work when you use your logic, when your brain is sound. So, but what happens if you are drunk and you wake up on the floor, the mattress is gone, even the when they were lifting up the bed, you were dead gone. And you just wake up, the room is clean. And you come and give a statement to the police that no, they broke into my house. Yes, they broke into my house. What happened? How did they break into your house? Number one, you were drunk. Number two, your gate was wide open.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian, passionately feeding the nation.
Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
Guys, we need to admit we are very unproductive. Really. We need to, by the time we admit this, the area we admit this, maybe we will change. Look, Africa went into witchcraft and left the gate open. Africa was drunk completely into chasing spirits. They are apparently the spirits of ancestors. Now, this is where I have a problem. Because when our fathers were alive, they taught us good morals and ethics and principles of life and how we should understand and in fact turn every element of nature that we have into an economic benefit. But now our fathers die, and when they die, apparently they are now ancestors and they tell us to do something very totally different from what they taught us. Does that make sense? So, somehow there was an impersonation that deceived our forefathers to believe that they were listening to their fathers. Because I don't want to put it on our forefathers that these spirits that we followed and that we follow diligently are the spirits of our forefathers. I don't want to believe that. Why? Because when our forefathers were alive, and I'm talking to you from a cultural point of view, because whatever I know it through my father, who knew it through his father, and it went from one generation to the other. So this kind of instinct and coordinates of when I'm told that I'm now a man, I must start working with my hands. You know, somebody teaching me what to do and how to do it. And somebody in fact tells me that the element of nature, the elements of nature, whether it is wind, whether it is sun, we can use it as an economic benefit. We could discover food stuff. We discovered watermelon. We discovered pumpkins. We discovered pumpkin leaves, and we understood that they can be eaten. The Ovambo people discovered that the small, you know, the small melon type of, the one they call mgongo, can be made into, those seeds can be pounded, and of course the flour can be used into something like a small porridge. They call it a patty that children can eat. In fact, they also discovered that you can roast these seeds and eat, and they are very nutritious. How did all that logic get lost? Now, if somebody who is alive is teaching you to discover, and they die, then when they die, apparently they appear to you and they start teaching you other things. That does not work. It does not make sense. And this is what happened in witchcraft. Witchcraft is against you working with your hands. And it's against you using your logic. And it's against you discovering. Witchcraft turns you into a robotic instruction follower. You don't question. The same with religion and politics. That's why I put religion, politics, and witchcraft parallel. Because these three are responsible for corrupting Africa. We became so political in nowadays, and our gates are open. Everybody's entering and they discover things, and then we wake up from the slumber, and then we go and buy, we borrow money from the same person to buy shares from the same person. What logic is that? So, what logic, what kind of logic is that? So then the area we discover that, guys, we have become unproductive. The earlier church wakes up from that sleep, the better. Because you cannot have a church that have members that are unproductive. How do you prosper? How do you progress? You will turn them into zombies that will only listen to you and not question what you are saying. It is same with witchcraft, same with religion, and same with politics. You become vassals because you have suspended your logic. You have suspended your capacity, and in fact, you have resigned from work. And you are forced to believe that everything will be done to you, will be done for you by spirits. What logic is that? In this natural world that we live in, that's why we have two hands, we have two feet, we have two ears, we have two eyes. Why? So, we understood, in fact, we had physics that told us that for you to make this clay pot of this quality, you need this amount of fire. We understood the length, the breadth, the width, and the height. That's why we could build rooms. So, we went into witchcraft, we opened our gates. And by the time we woke up, we were on the floor. The white men came and took our bed, took our mattress, took everything. And we woke up on the floor. And now we want to play victim to say, we were colonized, somebody took from us. Yes, they took from us, but how did they take from us? Why did they take from us? When? Where were we when they were taking? We facilitated the process. because for 400 years, 500 years, these people were roaming around here. But because we have suspended our logic, we didn't see it coming. So, we need to admit one thing. Just like if you are driving when you are drunk, you need to admit that you were drunk, and then make a decision to change. The problem in Africa, we like to play victim because we refuse to take responsibility. We refuse to take responsibility. This is the black man's weakness, his refusal to take responsibility. A black man's weakness weakness is in his refusal to take responsibility. His refusal to hold himself accountable, that is the major weakness of a black man. So we can't be spiritual when we are physically unproductive. There is no such a spirituality. That spirituality must be condemned. Any spirituality that renders anybody unproductive, that spirituality must be condemned. It doesn't matter whether it is which spirit. Any spirit or any spirituality that renders a human being logically unfit or logically incompetent, and in fact, unproductive, that spirituality must be condemned. It must be condemned. So just like any church that has unproductive people, that church must be closed down. So any politics that rendered us useless and unproductive and in fact incompetent, that politics must end. So how were we, and you even hear professor say, no, everything started in Africa. Africa this, Africa that, Africa that. Then you wonder, what happened? See, how do we glorify nothing? We are busy praising nothing. We are busy, appreciating nothing. When you listen to professors, you really desire the Africa they talk about, but that Africa they talk about only exists in their minds. There's no such an Africa practically. Even they themselves know how unproductive many of them professors have become. They know. Because any academic knowledge that does not bring fruit physically must be condemned. It's a brainwash. Any spiritual knowledge that does not help a human being improve and improve himself, it must be condemned. It's a brainwash. So, no work in this world can be done by spirits. animal has boundary cannot improved by cannot be improved by spirit. It is improved by knowing the type of animal you are dealing with, and in knowing the type of feed they will need, and understanding the health care of an animal, you are able to improve its quality. We need to understand climate and make a proper decision that what kind of crop do we deploy this time. Others understood that, but we ran away from that, and we went into the spirits. And then we created totems that rendered us more useless and more broke, in fact. We are broke, but we boast of great totems. But what is an economic benefit of being part of a totem? What is an economic benefit of being part of a totem? We still allow our children to be paid for by NASFAF, but we are boasting of great totems. In fact, we even create Totem Expo. Totem Expo is not a cultural thing. It should have been an economic thing. So, it was supposed to be maybe a trade fair. Because your totem is supposed to be a bank. It's a banking organization. That's how our forefathers established them. But our forefathers did not understand the economic side of things. They were only chasing after power. So that when they cross the river, they are not hit by crocodiles. And when they cross the forest, they are not hit by lions. That's where it ended. And you know what? Those things came with stringent conditions that rendered us physically unfit and logically incompetent enough that we could leave our gates open and somebody else walks in freely. And by the time we woke up from that, we were slaves. And then we took up arms to go and fight for what we don't understand. We came back empty. And then we sat on the table with empty minds, just to realize that we only have power to make noise in parliament. While we were busy establishing totems, these guys were busy establishing companies and organizations, and economic organizations. They made their foundation very strong, so solid that we could not break it. Because for 500 years, they built it step by step. While for us, for 500 years, we were busy building totem organizations, which are good banks. They are good banks. I'll tell you why. They are good banks, but they are empty banks. They are empty banks. So, if you have a totem today and you call yourself, I don't know what totem you call yourself in. I'm always using, because the Oshwambo totems are well organized. So, if you are Mkwanyoka, which means you are related to a snake, okay? Now, snakes, it's not the snake you know. This is a spiritual, sign. Spiritual snake. But what does it represent? It represents knowledge. It represents wisdom. It represents capacity to, you know, it has, but do we have this knowledge and wisdom? What is the economic, what are the assets of the Kwanyokas? What are the assets? What is the economic power? Zero. But they only what? They only have what? Spiritual power. But that spiritual power, does it bring anything in the, does it bring any economic benefit? No. Why? Because our forefathers did not understand what they were, what they went to look for. They did not understand what they went to look for. But if you turn around and you look at, you go to other countries, they have this same totem, but to them, it's a bank. So, and it, to them, it is bringing an economy. It's bringing money. And in my Ashwamba show, I said to you that if you are Omkwanambwa, you need to go to Europe and see how this totem is bringing money to the government. So, we were just busy obeying superstitious laws. And this is where I want to go. I want to come in to make a difference between taboos and superstitions. So, we were just busy for 500 years creating totems that were not economical. Now, if you look at the game of cattle that people play, you know, in the north there, they call it Omaludi. And it's more power, it's more spiritual than economical. Nothing comes out of there to say, this is how we are going to improve our animals, you know, animal quality in terms of healthcare for them to look like we are. You know, it's an expo. It's a cow expo. It's a cattle expo. No. It's more spiritual. Because if you are not spiritual, you don't participate. And as a result, physically and economically, we are rendered useless and incompetent. In fact, unproductive. But spiritually, we boast to be more powerful. So any power that does not prosper a human being, any power that does not contribute to your economy, please throw that power away. Any power that does not bring anything into your pocket, you are powerful, but you still want NASFAF to pay for your child's school. And we want to claim that, no, we are Kwanyokas, we are powerful, we are Kwanangobes, we are... Any power that does not bring money into your pocket, throw it away. It's not power. Because power is supposed to help you make wealth. It's supposed to help you create wealth that when you die, your generation inherit this wealth and it goes from one generation to the other. So any power that you are talking about and it does not bring this wealth out, throw it away. So in culture we had power. In culture we had power. Because my grandfather says, this head of cattle, I leave it to you guys. It's yours. I'm now old. You take over. All these plows, everything, everything, all these things are now into your hands. You take over. So, our grandparents teaching us power to make wealth and to increase wealth. It is politics that came to deceive us, to say that when we are not in brick houses, we are poor. But we lived in our villages with our hut, with our rooms, everybody having his own room. Everyone making his own bed out of the wood. You know? And our mattresses were made out of papyrus. So it is politics that, and this modern economy that came to redefine what poverty is. But in our culture, poverty is when you are not able to work for yourself. That is a poverty that is defined, that's how we define poverty in our culture. When you are not able to work for yourself, that's one. Two, when you are not able to think. In our culture, that is poverty. But witchcraft defines it this way. Poverty is when you are not powerful, when you are not spiritual, you are poor. That's a corrupt understanding of poverty. So we ended up losing ourselves, and we became slaves of spirits. And then at the end of the day, because we were already slaves of spirits, it was easy for us to be slaves of the few people that just came to Europe, that came from Europe. They already found us slaves. We surrendered ourselves to spirits that robbed us of our cultural capacity of production. In fact, our natural capacity. A human being is a producer by nature. So it is in our natural instinct to work. We left all that and we became slaves of spirits. For your cattle to multiply, no one must give birth in your family. Those were the conditions. And our forefathers understood that. That's why, you know, some of you know what I'm talking about. So, but fine. Those were the conditions, but we established totems to oversee those conditions. Now, these totems are banks, big banks, like I'm telling you. Big banks. In other worlds, if we have to make it parallel, all these discoveries of what was the galaxy, what, they were discovered by who? If it was in our totem, we would say by the Kwanyokas, because they were the ones that have this power of discovery, wisdom of discovery. But, and they are the ones that are now leading the world, because they are the ones that define what the universe is. Where do you think science comes from? Or astronomy? Where do you think it comes from? It comes from astrology. There were astrologers first before astronomers came. And astrologers are the Ubakwanyokas of that. But what in other world they are making money out of that. And in here we are not making any money. Why? Because our forefathers did not understand the economic side of the power they went to look for. So I think we need to stop blaming whoever and start pointing fingers to ourselves. And then that's when we will change. Because we need to admit one thing, that we have become unproductive. We need to admit one thing, that we have become unproductive. Church people, unproductive. Politicians, unproductive. Cultural and traditional people, unproductive. Why? Because we left the foundation. We left the what? The foundation. And now we have become borrowers. Instead of becoming lenders, we have become borrowers. We have become servants. Instead of becoming masters, we have become tails. Instead of becoming heads. Why? These are the penalties of leaving the foundation. Listen, when Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of evil and good, he left being spiritual. So when he became physical, God made it possible in the conscience of a human being to create a culture and a tradition, to create norms and customs. These customs, these norms, and tradition culture is to facilitate his harmonious coexistence with nature. But we have left all that and we started chasing after spirits. That everything must be done by magic. There's nothing, no prosperity comes by osmosis. Prosperity comes from hard work. That's why the Bible says a little more sleep and poverty will overtake you. This is speaking to a culture. This is, in fact, emboldening what culture dictates. Culture is not against God, and God is not against culture. Religion is against God. Politics is against God. And witchcraft is against God. Let me repeat it again. Culture, tradition, norms, customs are not against God. And God is not against culture, tradition, norms, and custom. In fact, he put it in the instinct and the coordinate of man's conscience, so that they establish it. That's why God did not create a church. And God did not create parliament. God created a family. What does that tell you? So God created a family. And it is a family that gave birth to tradition, that gave birth to culture, that gave birth to norms and customs. And these are the principles by which kingdoms were established. And from which government issues. So, God is not against culture. And culture is not against God. You will never be judged by God for being a cultural person or traditional person. Never. But, you see, religion is totally 100% against God. We need to know that. Politics is 100% against God. Witchcraft is 1,000,000,000% against God and against culture. Politics is against culture. Witchcraft is against culture. Religion is against culture. 1,000,000,000%. You can even point a gun to me. I will tell you that until you make your last bullet on my head. That you will never stand before God to be judged for following culture and tradition. In fact, culture gives us the morality that makes it easier for us to believe God. So we were chasing after spirits, and then we left our gates open, we left our doors open, and thieves came in. You don't believe, you don't blame a thief for stealing. What do you blame? You blame your security. When thief break into your company, the first thing you start to question is not whether or not they were able to steal, is how were they able to penetrate the multi layers of security. In military, you have what we call defense shields. You know, air shields, the air defense systems. Now, you can talk all you want on paper and say the Patriot, the Iron Dome, the what works probably the 99% effective until there is a conflict between you and your enemy. That's when we can know whether your air defense system works. You know, until there is a threat, that's when we can know whether the security is intact or not. That's when we can know the competence of our security cluster. When there is no threat, you can talk all you want. It is but theory. But for it to be practicalized and to be reality, there must be a threat. And how that threat will be dealt with will determine whether or not we have a competent, security cluster. So you don't blame the thief for stealing. You look at your security. There was a window left open, which made it easier for somebody to get in. There was a gate left open. The last person that passed did not close the gate. Uh-huh. So that's where we start. Our security was compromised. That's why people were able to come in. We were drunk last night. My wallet is gone. Huh. What happened? My wallet is gone. Huh. My bob card. My brother one day woke up and say, my bob card. And while he was still contemplating, there was a tinding message on his account, on his phone. People are swiping. Because you can only blame your recklessness. That is only if you are able to take responsibility. But if you are not able to hold yourself accountable, you will be blaming somebody. Just like a girl that used to be called queen in the street, queen. And you become pregnant and you now want to blame the man. No, you facilitated your pregnancy. You played a major role. You had a major contribution. So stop this baby cry and then get up and take responsibility. Because those are the consequences of your actions. And some of you girls don't even listen to instructions. You don't listen. You think you think you are grown up until you become pregnant. That's when you want to point a finger. You see, there was a lady that called in one day and said, no, men are just nothing but sperm donors. And I said to her, no, there is no donor without a receiver. So there can never be a donor if there is no receiver. There can never be supply without demand. Never. So let us grow up and learn to take responsibility. Klar. You can't have contributed majorly and you want to sneak out And you want to leave it all to one person. It doesn't work. So, everything that we do is a joint venture. That was a joint venture. It's a joint account. You contributed 23 chromosomes. They became 46. So, it's a joint account. And anybody of you does anything to that, it will be called fraud, because you are supposed to do that with consent. This is something feminists don't understand, because they don't live in reality. So, we can't blame thieves for coming in. We can blame our security for not doing their, for not having done their job, our security cluster. And did we have any? No. We didn't have any security cluster because all of us were busy establishing totems. We were busy roasting people for rain in fire. Rain which is not spiritual. Rain is not spiritual. There is no spirit that gives rain. Never. But our ignorance has facilitated the scramble of Africa. So in 1896, the Italians attempted to attack Ethiopia, and they failed miserably. Why? We'll come and talk about Ethiopia next time, because Ethiopia is our mother. How did Ethiopia survive? That is one thing we need to understand, that how did Ethiopia survive colonialization? Ethiopia is our mother. We'll come and talk about it. But the danger of going off the foundation, that is a danger. So, I still have 50 minutes. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to finish this in 50 minutes. I think my listeners, I think they helped me. Because I will admit that when it comes to music, I have the most, ridiculous choice of music. So I have the most ridiculous choice of music. I can't align my music to the topic, because my topics are not general. And it is very difficult to find a song specifically aligned to what I'm talking about. So that's why when I want to drink water, I just play music, any random song that I find. You people need to laugh at me, but at the same time, you need to understand me. I'm in a tight corner, because the kind of topics that we discuss here, they don't really have a specific song that I can align to it. And that's why I can choose just to blow it up, talk until I'm done. I don't know whether I'm able to finish this, or should we continue next week? But let's see how we can go. So, I gave you that foundation so that we understand our mistake. We understand our mistake. Now, when we inherit things like we inherit how do we call them? the things that we inherit, you know, for ancestors, you know, those spiritual things that we, somebody say inherit. You know, when you inherit that, you know, you become a CEO, like a chief executive officer of a supposed economy. But those things are only spiritual and they bring nothing. But we inherit them. From, you inherit them from your grandmother, gives you a bunch of, you know, a clay pot with some snakes that are in there. You know, those are family stuff. They need to be passed on from one generation to the other. But the question is, what economic benefit do those things have? What economic benefit do those things have? And, you know, we started forcing people to accept our totem laws as cultural law. They are not, and they will never be. Because when you are Mkwanyoka, that's not culture.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Okay, so when you're Mkwanyoka, you are a shareholder of a bank. And the banks are not culture. They are not tradition. Banks are transactional. So that's transaction organization, like economic. So bank are economical. So when you are Mkwanangobe, you are Mkwanyoka, you are Mkwanambwa, those are banks. And industries. They are not part of our culture. They were supposed to be part of your economy as a family or as that clan. In 1779, a group of, you know, young European, you know, spiritualists came together and they thought to say, look, guys, let's establish an organization that will bring economic power. You know, let us establish an organization that will bring an economic power. Because this thing of just being ritual, you know, ritualistic, and just ancestors, you know, following superstition and the laws of spirits, and we don't, and there's not, no economy out of it. This thing will render us, you know, unproductive. So this thing will render us unproductive. And that's where Illuminati was formed. Most of you saying Illuminati this, Illuminati that. But Illuminati is an organized secret society which rules over, in fact, economy. So, you cannot be part of Illuminati if you don't have money. And if you are not famous, and if you don't have power, those are the three criteria to be part of Illuminati. You must have money, you must be famous, and you must have power. So you see that even, you see that in other countries, Freemasonic organizations are economical. So, if, you know, our totems are not cultural, our totems are Masonic. We need to understand that. So our totems are not cultural. They are not traditional. We need to stop saying this is a traditional thing. We need to stop that. And in fact, even our elders, I think our elders, with due respect, you also need to stop saying witchcraft is culture. Our totems are Masonic. So, our totems are Masonic. And whenever there is a totem expo in Oshakati, you need to know that you are not celebrating a culture. You are celebrating Masonic organizations. Now, does it sound terrible? Yes, it does. But that is what our forefathers have established. There is nothing we can do. And in fact, nobody can even take me to court because there is no CEO of Mkwanyoka who is official. Who is the greatest among the Bakwanyokas or the Kwanangombes? No one. So, but our totems are Masonic. Now, our totem, in as much as we love them, what economic benefit do we get from it? I mean, from them. So if you inherit what we call, you know, the family, how do we call it? I don't want to direct translate it. Family instruments of power. Yes. So it's family instruments of power. Just for lack of better words. For lack of a better word. But in Oshiwambo they say, emia de pata. And I use Oshiwambo because Oshiwambo has the most organized. You know, Oshiwambo totem is organized. Well organized. That's why I'm using it. To illustrate. And it's intentional for me to do that. So because I need us to understand. So you inherit those things, which means you become a CEO, just like somebody has become a CEO of Coca-Cola. Do you know how old Coca-Cola is? What makes you want to drink that thing more and more and more? So, what makes it addictive? So to say, like you can crave for it. Why? What force of gravity is that pulls you to it? You need to find out that. I'll not tell you. So, but these are companies that have lived almost 400 years. Ukwanyoka is 500 years. So, same age, but the other is producing result, the other one is producing no result. You know, even if Coca-Cola was, you know, a Namibian company, or you wouldn't have somebody who is a CEO of that and having their child paid for by NASFAF. Never. In fact, they will donate money to NASFAF. But how have we become borrowers with so much, with all these powerful organizations? You know, how do we become poor with all these powerful organizations? And we even say we are celebrating, we are making a totem expo. And all the Kwanangobes and Kwanyokas, Kwanayumas, they come and they dance there. We only come to dance and show things. But we are poor. We are broke. Because our banks are empty. These organizations are banks. But you know what? They are empty banks, no money. Because the people who established these banks did not understand economy. So these young Europeans said, look, let's establish an organization. And this organization became very powerful. That's why you are talking about it today. Now, whether you are talking about it from negatively or positively, it doesn't matter. But it's a powerful organization established by young people who came together and they thought, look, we need to be transformative in our spirituality. So we need to be transformative in our spirituality. So our own witchcraft is not transformative. It's in fact destructive. Now, let me make a distinction between culture and witchcraft real quick so that you understand. And so that you understand why I'm saying you need to stop saying that witchcraft is culture or is part of culture. And so that you understand why I'm saying witchcraft is against culture, 100%. In culture, we are taught that for you to be great is because of other people. That's in culture. Mutu kimutu kavatu. Umuntu ungomuntu ngabantu. So, omnu molubanu bakwao. That's culture. Which means you become great by making other people great. So your greatness is not isolated. This is culture. I'm not making things up. You know what I'm talking about. And in fact, you even know it better. So I'm not making anything up. If I'm making anything up, you can prove me wrong. You can come and embarrass me publicly. I'll give you that 100% guarantee. And the number is 0832888401. So, in culture, you build others. You become great by building others. What John Walenga has done is cultural. He established this, you know, this facility in order to use it to build people. So, witchcraft, you become great by wasting others. Which means your greatness is only isolated to you. So, you become great by wasting others. That's why you put other people in kettles. You know, I'm not directly translating it. For a taxi business to flourish, somebody must be rendered useless in the village. You know, somebody must be running around, you know, the whole village. You know, somebody must become cuckoos for you to prosper. That's witchcraft. That's why I'm saying witchcraft will never be part of our culture. Never. Just like religion will never be part of our culture. Never. And in fact, just like politics will never be part of our culture. Those three things are totally against our culture. Totally against our culture. Because they go against the principles of our harmonious coexistence. So the precepts of our culture are moral and ethical. It is immoral in culture to have somebody wasted in our society, in our community. It is immoral. It is immoral in our culture to have somebody, you know, lazy, who doesn't work. That is immoral. It is unethical for me to eat in front of somebody and not giving them. That's immoral. Every morality of our culture comes from the instinct and the dictates and the coordinates of conscience. And conscience comes from God. So, in witchcraft, You, if you want to be rich, it depends how rich you want to be. The level, the higher you want to go, the more people you are supposed to waste. But culture says the higher you want to become, the more people you are supposed to build. That's how culture is. So this is different. In politics and religion, the higher you must go is how many people you are able to manipulate and hypnotize. That is culture and that is religion and politics. Totally against culture. You understand me now? Culture says, build others. And the higher you go, which means the more people you will build, or the more people you build, the higher you will go. This is the same law conscious. Love your neighbor as yourself. It speaks into the conscience. It's both a God law and a cultural law.
Fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
You know, and we refuse to recognize other people and to support other people. Because we have left culture, we are now becoming religious and political, and we have become wizards. To the point that you want to see the downfall of the other person. You know, for 6 years you've been trying to see the downfall of Eagle FM. Whenever you hear Eagle FM, you want to know, all you want is a negative about it. Because you have left the foundation of culture. You are now religiously political and witch into witchcraft. So, a heart of jealousy is not born from culture. It's born from witchcraft. So that's the difference. When somebody's after your downfall, that person is not cultural. And that person is not with God. You know, that person is not with God. It doesn't matter whether they go to church. It doesn't matter whether they go to the office. In fact, there are some of you in your offices that are working. You want the downfall of this place. But I have good news for you. No weapon formed against this place shall prosper. So, that's the difference between culture is you prosper by prospering others. That's why in culture there was no house that where people would sleep with hunger. In those days when people were well cultured, even on Christmas, people would go around houses and people would share the heart that makes others rejoice over an achievement of one person. You know, people will come and celebrate and they rejoice. But witchcraft will say, otatu tara. Tatu ya tara. That's witchcraft. When somebody has come from, you know, those days, people used to come from Ushimba. You know, the neighbors will gather. It's a celebration. But one among them will say, we will see. Because this person is no longer at the foundation. And this is what our forefathers did not understand. That they were presented with a choice to choose between their culture and witchcraft. And our forefathers chose the latter. And that's how we started crumbling. And when we started crumbling, we did not see it. We ended up being borrowers. And we ended up being tails. We ended up being captured. And we ended up being enslaved. You know, we ended up being incompetent. We ended up being unproductive. So that's how we ended up where we are. You know, every country, everyone was colonized. We are not the only ones. But the Afrikaners were also put in concentration camps and you see, mistreated and embarrassed and humbled. You can mention it by the Anglo-Saxons. But there's something in an Afrikaner man, his culture. You know, his culture. When they rose from that ashes, when they rose from those ashes, they contemplated on going back to their glory. And even to more higher glory. That's why they were able to conquer millions of black South Africans. There were fewer than the natives. But they were able to conquer the natives and subjugate them. Why? Because we left the foundations. And we have chosen a route. And then we opened doors. And few people came and captured many. Many obeying few. And then few people became powerful over many that became weak. And they continue to grow weaker and weaker. Because you left your foundation. Go and read Deuteronomy chapter 28. Go and read it very well. You will understand what I'm talking about. Go and read Deuteronomy chapter 28. You will understand what I'm talking about. So in witchcraft, there are superstitions. And superstition means these are laws from the supernatural. And the laws from the supernatural are totally different from our laws, from our cultural laws. I don't even want to go through those laws. But then we have taboos. Taboos are things that are unethical, that we cannot do in our culture. For example, it's a taboo for you to marry your sister. It's unethical. It's immoral. But will you die when you marry your sister? No, you will not die. In fact, you might even give birth to beautiful children. But it is unethical. It is immoral. It's embarrassing culturally. So, witchcraft will tell you if you want to be rich, and this is common information, go and sleep with your mother or with your sister. That's a superstitious law because it comes from the supernatural. And there is a reason for that. You have to violate the moral law. So, what does God say? God says, you don't sleep with your sister, neither do you sleep with your mother, because that is wickedness. You can't uncover the nakedness of your mother or of your sister. So, but witchcraft will tell you to do it because there is a reason for that. I don't want to get into that. So, taboos are part of our norms and part of our customs. And taboos have to do with morality, with the precepts, and with principles, and with ethics, and the legality behind, you know, our harmonious coexistence. Respect your sister or your brother. You know, when we grew up, we were told to even not to even enter our sister's rooms. And our sisters the same. They were told not to enter our rooms. There are things culturally in my own culture, in my Lozi culture, that I can't discuss with my sister. There are things that I cannot discuss with my mother. I can discuss that with my aunt or with my uncle. For example, if I want to get married, I need to tell my aunt that, look, I found a lady and I want to get married to her. My aunt is the one that is going to tell my parents. So for me, because I do not know, I called my mother and I told her, I found a lady I want to marry. And my mother shouted on me on the phone, "Yeah, you can't tell me those things." I asked my mother one question. Did you tell me this thing? So did you tell me? How do I know? I don't know. You didn't tell me. So she kept quiet because she knows she never told me this. So the problem with elders is that you think people know. You assume people should know. How should they know if we are not telling them? If everything about culture is kept in the medulla oblongata of elders, and they expect people to know automatically. So, this is what makes it easier for us to go off the foundation, because things are not said. And when they are said, they are misrepresented. Like the culture, how it was painted a very dark paint. Dark paint. To the point that young people would rather choose, you know, technology. So, but culture is a beautiful thing. It is a misrepresentation of culture that made it easier for people to hate and despise it. So, we have taboos in our culture. And one of the taboos, I'm giving you the distinction now between witchcraft and culture. In culture, your sister is your sister. And your mother is your mother. You don't even try. You know, you don't even try. Think about it. You know, approaching them to have sexual contact with them. You don't dare try that. It's immoral. It is unethical. You know that witchcraft in culture is immoral. Do you know that? You know that in culture, witchcraft is immoral. It is unethical. In fact, it's embarrassing. And I heard people saying, why do people shun witchcraft, you know? No, because witchcraft is embarrassing according to culture. That's why you do things secretly. Anything that you do secretly, you don't want people to know. Why don't you want people to know? It's because it's embarrassing. You know, it is immoral. Now, somebody will say, no, but even sex is done secretly. Yeah, but sex is not embarrassing according to culture. It's not immoral. Sex is, according to culture, in fact, is the basis of our coexistence. The reason why we do it secretly is because we have established principles on how to do it and with whom to do it. Now, homosexuality is embarrassing culturally. It's immoral. It's unethical. Democratically, it's a human right. But culturally, it is immoral. It's an immoral practice. It was considered as a sickness, and that's why it used to be treated under culture. So, it is embarrassing. Now, we have taboos. Again, you don't marry your daughter, neither can somebody marry their son. Your grandmother, your close relative, in fact, your close relatives. You don't. But of course, here we put a little bit of a distinction, because the morality here will differ from one culture to the other. So we cannot be evangelistic here. Here we need to be very cautious, because other cultures marry their relatives. Yeah. But biblically and culturally, from the Lozi Oshuambo especially, it is immoral. Yeah. But when it comes to Lozi and Oshuambo and other cultures, it is immoral. But other cultures would prefer that as it's a morality. In fact, it's even encouraged, so that, you know, families are kept, you know, closer. That's a cultural, you know, logic behind that. So, there are other taboos, like laws, that, you know, when a woman has started, you know, when her first menstrual, you know, cycles, it's a taboo for her to prepare food. This is a hygienic law. And also, it is a taboo for men to come near her. This is done for hygienic purposes. It's not spiritual. It is hygiene. And then, you know, it's a taboo to see the nakedness of an elder, or to answer back to an elder. When an elder speaking, you listen. And it is a taboo for you to sit on the throne when you are not from a royal family. You know, it's a taboo. You don't become a king if you are not from a royal family. But witchcraft will tell you, as long as you have power, you're powerful, you can become a king. But culturally, we know that kings are of royal descent. We don't even desire to be kings in a cultural point of view. We appreciate our king. He's from royal descent. We are not. So we are happy being the subject of the king. We love our king. That's our culture. But witchcraft will say, no, you can become a king. Just waste 100 people. That's why you are sent to go and get the nose of a hyena. You bring me a tail of a crocodile. Bring me what? For you to become what? That's not ethical. It's embarrassingly immoral. You know, overthrowing a king and becoming a king, it's immoral. It's embarrassing. In fact, even fighting for, you know, fighting for chieftains, you know, you are fighting to be a chief. In culture, people never used to fight for being a chief. It's embarrassing. You don't do that. You don't even fight for position in culture. It's embarrassing. It's immoral. Because in culture, for you to be appointed by the king must notice wisdom in you. That's the criteria. And in fact, it doesn't matter how wise you are. You will never be the king. You can be one of the great, you know, men in the king's circle, but you can never be a king because kingdoms are ruled by people of royal descent. This is biblical and this is cultural. But democratically, you can become a, you know, you can also just gather two or three people and then you want to be recognized as a, why do you look for recognition from a minister? You want a minister to recognize you as a king or a chief? That's a democratic, this democratic, but culturally embarrassing. And it is culturally immoral. It is culturally unprincipled. It is culturally unethical. It is illegal. You don't do that. That's a taboo. You see? So taboos are into our morality. To keep us in under, you know, moral standard. We needed taboos. We needed laws. That's why even in the Bible there are commandments to keep you in standard between the fellowship of you, the fellowship between a human being and God. So witchcraft is not African. Witchcraft is universal. Professors, stop telling people that witchcraft is African. It is universal. And stop telling people that witchcraft is culture. No. According to culture, witchcraft is immoral. You don't waste a human being in culture. So, in culture, you don't waste a human being. In culture, you don't hypnotize, you don't manipulate, you negotiate, you talk, you ask. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Ask and you shall be given. Principles. You don't steal. You don't covet. You don't commit adultery. You don't kill. Those are cultural principles. In culture, we are taught to respect people while they are alive. But in witchcraft, the dead are more important than the living. So that's where the difference is. And that's why we have adopted that same concept. You see, we have adopted that same concept where a family member is living in poverty and then they die tomorrow. And then we create a WhatsApp group. Funeral arrangement. And then we start to announce, family 2,000. What family 3,000. What family 4,000. Total amount 100,000. If you are able to raise 100,000 for the dead and you are able to raise zero for the living, that is witchcraft. So if you are able to do nothing for the living and we want to do everything for the dead, that is witchcraft. And that is immoral when it comes to culture. Because I told you that in culture, you become great. If for you to become great is because people look at what you have done to the community. You know, how many people have you built? So we started rendering a living person as useless as they are. And then we started respecting the dead. There's a reason for that in witchcraft. While the dead become more important than the living. There's a reason for that. But I'm not going there. But we have adopted this concept where the person is left to fend for themselves. And when they die, in fact, they die in gross and absolute utter poverty. Then we bury them in a $20,000 coffin and slaughter cattle as we can. We eat there and feast, celebrating the dead. In fact, creating false biographies, talking false about a person when the person cannot even hear themselves anymore. They cannot hear what you are talking about. But when a person is alive, we talk ill about them. You know, we gossip about them, we wish them down, we say all sorts of things against them. They are alive. They can hear us. We say things about their children. We say stuff. But let them die today. Everybody rest in peace. Rest in what peace? Peace from whom? I was alive. You did not give me peace. You want me to rest in what peace? How eternal is that peace when I was alive, you wished me down? So, the concept we have acquired is wrong. And when it comes to culture, when you put it parallel with culture, culture weighs it, culture is a scale, and it weighs it and says, this is immoral. What we do is embarrassing. I get embarrassed when I attend family funerals. Because people will be gathering there, you know, singing songs, and pastors will be called to come and speak false things there. Things that they cannot even substantiate. But a person was alive and he was let alone to rot into poverty. No pastor visited them, nothing. Why don't you take time and say, guys, can we raise money for Aunt Hoo-Hoo-Hoo? And let us help her come up with like a small thing where she can support her children. Or Uncle Who. He comes there, his shoes, you don't know whether they are black or gray. They've changed color. The color is gone, dead. You don't know the color of the shoes anymore. Or the trouser. But we euphemistically speak, these are elders that we have, things we say that are not even coming from our hearts. But we allow this tate to die in a kambashu. And in fact, even the kambashu he died in is not even well constructed. You are even embarrassed to go there and fetch him. You see, some of you are embarrassed to come near your living relatives. But you are bold enough to come near them when they are in a coffin. So, this thing of waiting for somebody to die for us to speak good about them is witchcraft. That's not culture. And it has also become religious. it is also become political. Somebody dies who was a war veteran. That's where SWAPO will wake up and talk false things there. But the person was alive. You gave him nothing. No visit from any SWAPO high ranking, whatever. But the person dies, you want to go ahead and make, you know, political, historical statements that are false. That you could not say to a person when they are alive. Anything you cannot say to a living person, no matter how good it is a lie. When you are going to say it when they are dead, it is a lie. So anything you cannot say to your uncle who is alive, who even paid school for you. Some of you. You know? Some of your uncle went out of their way to pay schools for you. You graduate, you forget about them. They die. You want to go and show off with a red carpet. In fact, guys, don't even be deceived by today's donation. Because today there is insurance. There is what we call policy, funeral cover. So they put you there not because they care. They put you there so that when you die, they can claim hundreds of thousands. It's a retirement policy in disguise. So don't be deceived by seeing a lot of people buying coffins that are expensive and you think people cared about the person. No. If you want to show the people that you care about the person, give them while they are alive. Visit them. You are embarrassed of going to go and visit your aunt at Okuliangava. They are embarrassed. You want to come and visit. You want to be associated with those that are at Klen Kupe. Fine. But if you are embarrassed to go near a person that is alive, don't get near them when they are dead. So, allow me to preach to you, because our way of life does no longer make sense, and in fact is plunging us more into a serious level of unproductivity, because we have left the foundation. Do you know that China is developing, but at the same time very cultured? The Chinese understand their culture, but they are developing. So culture is not against development. We can develop with our morality intact as a society. And I repeat again, it is politics, it is religion, and it is witchcraft that has corrupted our way of life. Religiously, a person has been coming to church there, you see the shoes torn. You don't even know whether, you know, you don't even know the color of the shirt of this person. But this person dies. That's when you want the coffin to pump, to come in church, and the pastor comes and talk about things he cannot even substantiate. Because in religion, when you die, that's where you go to heaven. That's religion. When you die, that's when you go to heaven. But faith said, no, you can be in heaven while you are still alive. You don't need to die for you to go to heaven. Faith is saying, you can be in heaven while you are alive. Which means you receive eternal life now, not when you are dead. So it is witchcraft and religion that has taught us to respect the dead over the living. All right, I have even gone past the time. Huh. I have gone past the time. Okay, let me end here today. And I could have gone for 2 more hours. I have a lot to say. I can tell you that. If it was not for the show that is coming on now, I could have gone for 2 more hours. But let's call it a day, and of course, we'll see if we'll continue again next Saturday, or maybe we might come up with a new discussion. But this has been the series of, you know, tracing the difference between culture, witchcraft, religion, and what really has rendered us useless and you know, and unproductive and incompetent in Africa. Stay tuned for other, you know, programs that will follow.